Hello.
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 Sorry, let me get in here a little bit.
Hello.
Does that sound better? Is it?
Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah, it is.
Just eating the microphone.
It's so tasty. It tastes like computer chips.
I might breathe my halitosis all over this thing.
Yeah, please infect all of our listeners.
For the audio listener, Damron is breathing so hard into the mic right now.
How did you feel about that first episode?
And honestly, I really felt that.
Okay.
And how does this make you feel?
I love coming to group therapy.
How did the
Above
last
and beyond.
Session actually go for you guys?
It was good. It was really good. Thank you for asking.
Good.
All right.
Enjoy.
Yeah, please enjoy that session that already happened.
Yeah.
Every day I strive to be the squeaky toy penguin from Toy Story.
All right.
Weezer, I think, is his name.
Yeah, Weezer's correct.
Yeah.
Not the band.
Not the band, because he's not musical. All right, let's get into this damn episode. Welcome back to Pawscast. Thanks for tuning in. I'm June the Fox, cosplaying a candy corn or a traffic cone at any given moment. And I'm joined by two fuzzy animal people who also like to convene. One of them is Damron, the Arctic Waffle Waffle Waffle.
Are you all right?
I am all left.
We cut off that part. All right. Damer on the Arctic Wolf here. Happy to be on the show. Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming back. And of course, we are joined by another special guest who likes to convene.
Oh, yes. I am the chemical burn from the spiral perm, Speedy Esky.
Good God.
Oh, yeah.
You have the nerve. You have the nerve. That do take nerve.
That do take nerve.
Dr. Bitchcraft. Let's party.
Yeah.
So, Speedy and I like drag queens, in case anybody was confused.
We like,
I'm confused
with Trixie and Katya.
Yeah. Oh my God. So today we're going to be talking about what happens when people collect in a room. You might say they convene at conventions.
Ta-da.
Yay! Today we're talking about conventions. This is not really limited to furry conventions, but that's most of my experience with cons, I would say. Probably true for most of us here. But the general idea, just to kind of start somewhere with a foundation, is there are many kinds of conventions, and a convention is quite simply just a gathering of people who all have an interest in a particular fandom. Fandom being, oh my God, we all love a TV show, or we love a comic universe, or we like a movie universe, or a genre, because there are sci-fi conventions and anime conventions. And then furry is another thing that has conventions, which brings us here.
Yes.
Yay! Yep. So to kick us off, let's talk about what is your favorite furry convention?
Oh,
I like to stir the pot.
Yeah. So I've got a couple that I like that I've been going back and forth with. Traditionally, my favorite furry con has been Midwest Fur Fest.
Of
only
course.
Because it's more of a holiday themed con and I'm all about the shiny. But I think what actually unseated MFF as my favorite would be FWA.
Of course.
Furry Weekend Atlanta. It's not necessarily in the middle of the holidays. It's just a good, convenient convention.
Yeah.
I like that. I like convenient. So.
100%.
Yeah, yeah.
I think FWA is my favorite convention right now as well. I will say, we talked about this in a previous episode. I had some issues with Anthrocon. I think a lot of people had some issues with Anthrocon. Mm-hmm. But now that I've gone to Anthrocon once, I get the magic of Anthrocon. It's downtown Pittsburgh. They take over the whole city. There's a marching band. I mean, that hits a button for me. Like, and businesses get into it. People get into it.
Yeah.
So seeing that whole, seeing the whole city and the community come together,
yeah,
and they've got, for those who haven't been, it's a gorgeous convention center. And then this particular piece of land that we're on, it sits on the corner where a river forks into two rivers. So there's a lot of just, you know, hills and trees and very green because it's Pennsylvania and water, right? So very, very scenic. I just don't like the time of year for a couple of reasons. One is it's the 4th of July weekend and it's like, maybe I want to do other things that weekend. But also, it's quite literally summer. And I have no heat tolerance. Yeah. I can say that as a dancer. I have no heat tolerance. So AnthroCon is somewhere maybe close to the upper echelon of like cons I like. But I think right now my favorite one is FWA. It's a much better venue. There's more access to food. Everything is done indoors. Party stores aren't that far away. That venue is built for Dragon Con, for example, which can handle 80 to 100,000 people. Like, they just have their shit figured out. And I think in terms of organization, MFF does not have it figured out, which sucks because to me, they are the quintessential Christmas con for furries.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to be non-conventional here. And
oh, God.
The convention that I like.
Ugh, disgusting.
It's not a hotel convention. Actually, my first furry experience, if we're talking furry conventions, would probably be Feral.
Absolutely.
I went in 2006 and in 2007. It was an outdoor space that was taken over by furries. It was a campground up in Canada. And they had a cap limit of 150 attendees. And it was great because there were panels, but not so much like a hotel has conference rooms, but you go outside for a polar bear swim, swimming across the lake. There was rock climbing. There was predator prey, which was a community event that we all played. And just, I liked being active and being active with other people that like outdoor experiences. And this is before I ever even experienced a hotel convention.
Right, right.
My first hotel convention experience was AnthroCon, and it was not great.
Yeah.
It was too much stimulation, didn't know anybody, and room with people I didn't know at the time. But
that's how they all are now, honestly.
My favorite hotel convention, the first one that popped into mind was actually going to Texas Furry Fiesta.
Absolutely.
With some other members of our Pause Play show that was Draft Stallion and Wolf Masters.
Mm-hmm.
And it just blew me away with the amount of acceptance that there was and the spaces that were available for some of the things that I'm interested in. And it blew me away. It was really awesome. And then getting to know some of the folks there, the hospitality and just the overall space was good. It felt like a fresh convention to me, and not everybody knew who I was. So that helped too.
And the Texas food. I mean, come on.
Well, we went out to a couple places while I was there.
Yeah.
That's good food.
Can't be no Southern food.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. I remember, Speedy, you and I checked out Furry Siesta 1 year.
Yeah.
That was like 2021, I want to say. And even that con being the smaller of the two compared to Furry, you know, TFF, that was still a great time. Lots of people, easy to get around.
Yeah.
You know,
it was interesting.
Beautiful venue. Hot weather.
We landed and it was 104 when we landed, and I think it was 105 when we got back on the plane to come back to Detroit.
And in Michigan, both times it was like 75 or something.
It
was like we stepped off the plane and we were like,
it felt cold getting off the plane. Eh?
In Michigan, yeah. But stepping off in Texas, it was like, oh my God, this humidity. We're like choking on water. It was so bad.
You're getting waterboarded without laying down.
Literally, yeah. You know how cows sleep standing up and then you just waterboard them? Same thing. I don't know where I was going with that.
Tangent.
Move on.
Yeah.
Right. Move.
Ground beefish. Mm. But like, I also have a soft spot in my heart for Anthro Northwest, which is the Seattle Furry Convention. And the first weekend of January. Very small and interesting because the layout is like four floors of a hotel. What I loved though is the year that we went was 2024, and as part of registration, I don't think we sponsored. I think we just did regular reg.
Yeah.
But they gave attendees like a free dinner one night, like a complimentary dinner made by the hotel. And so we were all in the big ballroom. You know, there was buffet. We were just eating food, and there was like musicians playing up on stage and things like that. A neat experience that I've never seen at other furry cons. But also, like, I loved doing the film festival. That was my very first film festival, actually, where we featured the music video in the woods.
Yeah.
And that was a really, that was a really cool experience. So, oh my God, I love furry conventions.
Furries out in the woods.
Woodland furries. Okay, so let's do a quick lightning round just to talk about like all the cons. What are all the furry conventions that you normally go to? I normally do, I want to make Anthro Northwest a regular furry con. It's just hard because I'm in Detroit and that one's in Seattle. MFF as much as I can. FWA as much as I can. MCFC I love. Anthro Ohio is going to be one I start going to because they just got to a new hotel venue in downtown Columbus this year and it's gorgeous. I don't really do IFC anymore. IFC is fine. It's just one that I don't normally make my way out to anymore.
I'll let you know how it is. I'll be there.
Absolutely.
Nice.
So, Dameron.
Speaking of that, yeah. IFC is one of them.
Yep. I'll be going to Indie FurCon in less than 2 weeks. So that's coming up pretty quick.
When this is recorded.
When this is recorded. I don't know when this is going to air.
It might have already happened. You never know. Yeah, you're a time capsule right now.
Well, I can't tell you about my experience if I haven't been there yet.
Oh, my God. You're so four-dimensional right now. How does it feel, bestie?
This isn't fair. I feel trapped. Trapped in the fourth dimension. Pulling my hairs out. Jesus.
For the audio listener, Dameron is having a mental breakdown right now.
So
when I can get a room, MFF
yeah.
is one that I like to go to. I did, FWA obviously is kind of my go-to now. I do want to check out Furpocalypse this year if possible. We'll see. But it's all going to depend on, you know, room availability. That's the big thing right now is what rooms can you actually get into. But probably those would be the top three that I would be most interested in right now. We'll see. I might check out some other ones later in the year. But for right now, those are like the main three that I like to go to. But the big thing for me is I have to be financially conscious of some of these conventions.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You know, if I can't get a room in Maine at MFF, I'm not going to pay ransom prices at an overflow hotel. I'm just not going to, you know. I'd rather put the money in, you know, car parts or something like that. You know, if I got to spend $2,000 on a hotel room, no.
I think it really depends on the situation. Like,
right.
If I went to an international convention.
Yeah, that's different.
Then I know I'm spending money. Right?
Yeah, that's
different. Or Anthro Northwest, while not that expensive, the hard part of that was the flight, right? Because it's a pretty far flight. So
yeah.
I think it just depends on like where you want to spend your money. But I'm all for pinching pennies. You know?
Yeah. You have to be smart about it, right? I mean, you know, you want to make sure that you're not demolishing your savings to go to a convention.
Yeah. Or like taking out a loan for a fursuit or something crazy, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like I kind of missed the mark on your question a little bit. There is a convention that I would like to experience, Anthro New England over near
Boston. Oh my God. I've actually been wanting to check that out.
That's one I would like to attend soon.
Yeah.
I've also done FE, Fernal Equinox, before.
Okay.
That's in Toronto. That was lovely. That hotel is so beautiful.
Mm.
Super, super beautiful. Lots of lighting, lots of signage. It's Canada, which is like my other home, you know, so I love it. I want to talk about traveling with fursuits specifically.
Yes.
Because I had to learn how to fly with a fursuit to do, oh my God, what was the first time? Was it FWA? Because we did it for the first time together. Was it FWA 1 year?
I think it was Texas Furry Siesta.
You're right.
It was the first time we flew. Yeah,
that was 2021.
Yeah.
That was 4 years ago. I guess
that's a technique. You're right.
There is an art to it.
Yeah.
So I actually want to start with Dameron because I'm curious about your experiences, any kind of travel. So car, train, plane, you know, I know
planes,
I said that wrong.
Trains and automobiles, the movie. Yes.
Speedy had to get in here with
where's
the worst
your ticket? I threw it away. Uh-oh. What? You're fucked.
The microphones are dying right now.
Yes.
Starting with me. I don't take my full suit generally if I can't drive there. Now, I've never traveled by train, but I hear it's a really great experience. There's a couple locals here that swear by it, and maybe it's something I should really look into in the future. When it comes to flying, I prefer minimalist travel. usually one carry-on and one personal item. I don't do checked luggage. Mm-hmm. So it's usually just a partial if I take it on a flight. You helped me take my full suit to FWA when we went a few years back.
Yeah, that was FWA. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's nice to have the full suit instead of having to just throw together some kind of costume and poodle. But I still...
Poodling.
Don't have an asthma attack there.
I'll try my best.
So, yeah, if I fly, I take it as a partial. Usually the head's the personal item, and then I have a few bibs and bobs in the little carry-on bag I bring with me.
Yeah, and the other thing now we have is like the Apple Air tags and the Samsung tags now to be able to locate your luggage. I know we've had several friends that we know that have had luggage either lost or in transit of being lost, where they've had, you know, those devices come in very handy. We're like, hey, dude, you know, you can't find my luggage, but I know exactly where it is.
Right.
It's on the tarmac.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Oh,
but,
God.
Yeah. It, you know, worthy investments if you're going to travel with your entire suit or maybe even your head even. Right.
Yeah. Before that was a thing with the AirTags, there was a full suiter that came to the Michigan convention, Furry Connection North.
Yes.
Jaeger Fuchs. And he had his suit here, got on the flight to go home. And the suit was not where it was supposed to be.
Yep.
So I went back to the airport, and they still had it there and moved it to Lost and Found. And I was able to get him on the horn, and we talked to these people. He gave them the proper information, and then they released it to me, and then I shipped it back to him.
Yep.
That was back in 2008.
Yeah. But I think there are so many horror stories like that of fursuits getting lost in transit or just like... I remember, I don't remember what convention, but like Telephone was traveling with like a car, and then they were maybe towing like a small trailer or something.
Oh, the trailer.
And, the trailer got broken into and a lot of things were stolen. So like, you know, there's always horror stories of that. I kind of feel dumb at this point because I know that I really should tag all my luggage and I still haven't done it.
Yeah. Well, I bought a couple of Samsung ones and I hate to say it, but I'm struggling with technology with those. It's not as easy as I thought. You have to register the device and you have to da-da-da-da-da. And I was like, okay, this is kind of goofy, right? But I need to figure that out, and then I'll have two of them that I can tag my luggage with if I do fly.
Right.
But they're worthy investments for 20 or 25 bucks, even 30 bucks. That's cheaper than your insurance that you're going to buy through the airport, right?
Yeah,
100%. Not that it may necessarily be the better investment or option, right? Maybe you need both, especially if you have, well, suit cost today, right?
Oh, my God.
And so, proof is in the pudding. Right. If you have the evidence, it affects your claim at least.
Exactly, yeah. However you can help yourself is what you need to do, really. Yeah. So, but yeah. No, I agree. I do tend to like cons that you can drive to because everything is in your car, right? For the most part, it's just you know where it is.
And then you're in control of your own timing and such.
Yeah,
you can leave or arrive whenever.
Take everything to your room, take everything back to your car, good to go.
Yep.
Exactly.
It's just obviously the commitment of driving, depending on how far you're going.
I mean, when Seattle, we knew we couldn't drive to. It was way too many hours to drive. It was what, 16 hours or something like that?
No, it had to be more.
18
it was
hours,
gonna be more.
At least.
Here to like Denver is 17 hours.
Yeah, it was not drivable.
Correct.
But other times, you know, we have our spreadsheet and we just crack it out and we're like, okay, it's gonna cost X amount of dollars in fuel versus flying, you know, in 2 hours.
Well, and then you're evaluating like cost of time and energy level at that point and things like that.
Yeah.
So
generally my point of perspective is if you're traveling more than 8 hours, you probably need to take a flight.
Right.
I think more than six I would fly. I think six hours is pretty enough for me.
for instance, I mean, we talked about driving to Frapocalypse out in Connecticut.
Right.
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 You know, it's 10 and a half, 11, well, let's say 12 hours of driving by the time you stop, bathroom breaks, food, right?
But you could theoretically trade off with two people.
You could, yeah. You could do that.
It's, you know, it depends on what you have a palate for.
Right.
And, you've got to have thrust.
The only benefit of that is because that particular con is in the fall, you would see all the northeast colors going through Pennsylvania.
Oh, Pennsylvania would be a gem.
It'd be a very pretty scenic drive, right?
Yeah, I mean, it would be
so
Hello, fuzzies, and hey, any convention-going humans out there. Are you enjoying this podcast so far? Well, we have a show called Pause Play. It is on YouTube. It's on there right now. It never went anywhere except there. So you gotta go check it out. We do fursuits, we do games, we do improv, and really, we're constantly traveling and trying to congregate or even convene. Whoa, I didn't bring that back for the whole episode, but I did this time. Full episodes from seasons 1 and 2 are available for free, so please consider checking us out and subscribing to get notifications of new episodes. We can't wait to see you over there. Back to the show.
We've learned how to pack for flights.
Oh my God. Right? And that's what I wanted to get into is like, yeah. So packing a fursuit for me is, we sort of like, I remember when we were looking into it, we just watched like 3 or 4 different YouTube videos and then we sort of cobbled the process together ourselves.
Yep.
So basically what I do is, I haven't flown with my suit by myself yet. So the process would change a little bit.
It's funny. I was just about to ask something about that.
But yeah. If we had 2 people each flying with 1 suit, how this would work. And I'm a slut for Delta. So hi Delta. It's a big Sterilite checked bag, right?
Yep.
And you usually have the one side that has the buckle straps and then the other side that's the zipper pocket. So in the zipper pocket, I do all 4 of the feet paws. Each of the feet paws inside of it will have 1 hand paw. Mm-hmm. And then that leaves you a thin column on the long side, whichever long side. That's where I put 1 of the tails. Then I have a vacuum bag. And in the vacuum bag goes the 2 body suits, which have been folded up into roughly a tall rectangle kind of shape. And then the second tail, and all of that gets packed with, you know, maybe 6 inches to a foot of margin at the top of the bag. Seal the bag, vacuum pull all the air out of it, and then finagle that into the zipper pocket. Or sorry, this is all on the buckle side. And then you buckle it over, and that's it. In the zipper pocket, that's where I've done like all my clothes, my toiletries, like whatever. Then I have a personal item bag. Each of us, the 2 people, has a personal mm-hmm. item bag. That's where the fursuit head goes. And the reason I feel very strongly about that is, to me, the fursuit head is the ID of the character, right? So the paws, the tail, the bodysuit, the feet paws, whatever. That's,
you can get those remade.
That's yeah. pretty
Unless you've
easy.
Got special characteristics of the suit.
Like right.
Yours has the hourglass.
Right. My bodysuit has the hourglass. Those at least are mostly geometric and they're not airbrushed or anything crazy. So it would be stitching. Not very hard to do, though. Yeah. And I think my design is, like, not very complicated. But the fursuit head, that is really, like, the signature of that fursuit maker
right.
and your character.
And often the most right. expensive
part. Oh, yeah. 100%. Mm-hmm. So I keep that on me in my personal item bag. I recently I'm done with carry-ons, I think, if I can help it.
Yeah.
I hate dealing with overhead or overhead compartments, you know? But I don't put any fursuit parts in there. I might put, like, my sandals or, like, folding fans or accessories or whatever. But for the most part, the actual fursuit itself, it's going in the checked bag for the most part, and then I'm carrying the head with me. Yeah. If I was traveling alone, I think I would still have a checked bag. I think I would put the fursuit part... No. I'm not sure how I would do it. But, it doesn't really matter. I would still carry the head with me.
So you haven't traveled alone yet, then?
Not with my fursuit.
Okay.
Not with my fursuit.
Yeah, but I mean, the vacuum packing was a game changer for us when we traveled with 2 suits in 1 carry-on or
yeah.
one checked bag.
I mean, it saves so much space, you know?
Yeah, it is legit. I mean, your body shrinks down and you have so much more space in your luggage. So really, the only thing you have to worry about is the weight, right?
Yeah.
You get like a $10 little luggage scale from Amazon, and then, you know, you watch for your 50 pounds. For Delta, it's 50 pounds, right? So as long as you're under that, vacuum pack everything, roll up your clothes, and go.
Don't buy too much while you're there.
Literally.
Yeah, right.
It's nice when you leave yourself room to shop, though.
Well, we went to Myrtle Beach that one time. And
that was great.
Yeah. Oh, Myrtle Beach. You know what?
That was so beautiful.
Myrtle Beach Airport. I absolutely
love it. Well, it was December, though.
It was December.
But that airport was, it's so small and like easy. Because I'm so used to like Dallas and Detroit, and even Seattle's airport was kind of massive, you know?
So, I mean, if you want to, let's just, I know we're kind of going off into the weeds here, but if you want a very quick vacation that is like fairly low key, go to Myrtle Beach and like, October, September,
that's
October.
What I want to do is go it like in October.
The locals told us to come back because many shops close up after the end of October, mid to late October. Yeah. So they had told us to come back in October. But that airport, legit, I loved it because you get off their plane, you go to the airport. It's a small little airport.
Yeah.
As you're walking out of the airport, you're walking directly into the car rental.
Yeah.
And then within the airport, you're surrounded by golf courses. And you pull out of the golf course and boom, you're off. You know,
yeah,
it's not like the big metro airports where you got to get off your plane and then you got to find your luggage and then you got to find the terminal and then you got to find your ride share and then you got to walk through four layers of parking garage to find
an actual nightmare. Like,
none of that. It was so easy. And I'd fly down there tomorrow.
If you go to Myrtle Beach, so for the people who are playing this game at home, if you go to Myrtle Beach in October, remember that anybody who owns a brick and mortar building that is trying to sell you a t-shirt, you must flirt with them because you will have the best conversations.
Lord. Yeah, I forgot about that.
And they will help you get amazing t-shirts. Yeah, I was very shameless. So we went into this t-shirt shop and this guy was hot. Like
he was, yeah.
And he was, he did that. He just wanted to make his sale. So he was being polite.
He was working it.
But I was, but I was like sort of trying to figure out like maybe when he got off of work and you know,
he was working it.
It was so funny.
But he was very nice. He was,
he was a really respectable human. I, on the other hand, was a degenerate.
Oh boy.
I am a disgraceful fox.
Yeah. The gay dolphin. We went to the gay dolphin.
The gay dolphin. Yeah.
Go to the gay dolphin.
That's where the land shark beer is made. Yeah. Is Myrtle Beach.
Oh really?
Yeah. They had a land shark restaurant. They had a land shark restaurant, and it was super
cool. It was a
good
time there. It was a good time.
What is your favorite panel at a furry convention?
Oh, I don't know if I've really ever gone to panels. Most of it has been dance comp and then just meandering and mingling with people, trying to meet new folks, you know? Dancing with people.
Dance comp is definitely mine.
Yeah.
I also like our cosplay panels, obviously. Yeah. I want to grow those more and see where they go. But dance comp is definitely my favorite panel. I love getting on stage and just being in the spotlight and showing off a routine.
Yeah.
I did, though, get a chance to finally... This is going to probably shock some people, but I really don't watch Floor Wars all that much. So I don't know how much you two really know about Floor Wars. But basically, imagine like any 90s movie where people congregate in the street and there's a dance-off. Yeah. And it's all very like freestyle kind of breakdancing or whatever. Many different styles now. Right. But, you know, a lot of breakdancing. And I checked it out for the first time at AnthroCon this year. And there's so much energy there. Like, it's a great time. The people who ran it, like, knew exactly how they were hyping up the crowd and how to keep things moving and alive. So that was super fun. I prefer dance competitions because, to me, it's more structured, more choreo, more, like, theoretically that person has put more time into their routine. The audition process, to me, is more rigorous, like, that sort of thing. But, yeah, I would say dance comp panels are my favorite. And then the pause play panels have been super, super fun.
All right.
Yeah.
Good deal. I like dance comps as well, but only if I have people that I want to support that are going through it. Like if you made it on stage or if, say, Scooter Panda makes it up there.
Oh, my God, Scooter. Yeah. Shout out to Scooter.
I like to be a cheering section for my friends when they get a chance to get up there and just showboat on stage, showing off their skills and whatnot.
Hell yeah.
But if I don't have something like that, panels that I look forward to are usually ones like... For Indie FurCon, the panel I really enjoyed the most is going to be Iron Claw.
Sure.
Now, for those that aren't familiar, Iron Claw is like Dungeons and Dragons, but it's furry. And they're on their second edition book now. Maybe they're going to push out a third, but there's a fellow that hosts one-shot campaigns at different times during the convention. And I got to experience this recently at another convention, Motor City Furry Convention. And I was hooked. I played a basic character that was just here, I've got this, you can play this character. It was Jacques Piquet. He was an 8-foot tall fox that was a lumberjack.
Ah, my cousin.
After I did that, I was like, well, I got to create Dameron, so we're going to make him. And then I used Hero Forge and threw together a character, and he was a mercenary, and I just had a blast. And everybody I played with just... conglomerated so well, it told a good story, and now I want to do it all the time. And you, your character increases in level as you go, so it's something I want to make sure I go, because the DM signs off the sheet, you get your experience, and then you can carry it on to different conventions.
Yeah.
I think that's a really neat experience. You meet new people, too.
A lot of new people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and board games is, or card games, is, it, that's going to be another
it's
episode.
It's always a fourth thing for me.
It, yeah. It's going to be another episode that we get into. But yeah, like there's just so much to talk about there. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like, you know, all of my 20s were in furry. And I started to explore some other things, like the Ren Faire, for example. But overall, there's like so much family to find in furry conventions. I feel like there's a lot of different things to explore in the panels.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talent and performance and character work and, you know, so many different things to see.
God, yeah.
And traveling and doing the money thing and being a responsible adult tends to be the hardest part of it all. But while you're there, if you can really just like immerse and, mm-hmm. and get yourself out there and, you know,
Be an
Aminal people, like it's pretty fun.
I always enjoyed the entertainment aspect of it.
Yeah,
just being in suit and going around the lobby, and then people that kind of get into the characters that we create, even if they're familiar with it or not, or even going to spaces where they're not familiar with furry.
Yeah,
and then taking that with you, and then people just eat it up. You wear a fur suit at a Renaissance festival, you're going to have groups of people just swarming to you because they've never seen anything like that before. It's awesome.
Unrelated, but that's why I love fursuiting at Pride festivals, because every time I go to Pride and I wear anything fursuit related, you can't walk more than 3.5 metric inches before somebody wants your picture.
It happened with us at Detroit Pride. It got so bad. I'm like, I need to take my head off. I can't. This is too much.
It gets to be a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm an attention whore, so it's fine, I guess. I'll suffer if people are taking pictures. But not if people are grabbing my ass.
Well, yeah, that's you got to be respectful.
Yeah, always respect the performer.
Some of those ladies were not respectful.
Ooh.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you both.
Yeah, of course.
I could talk about I could talk about conventions like all the time.
Yeah.
Like I think they're super fascinating, and they continue to be an important part of life for me.
Yeah. Each one is a new adventure in many ways.
It certainly is.
Yeah. It's always good to try something new too.
Absolutely.
Like, there's a good familiarity of a home con, but something new every year is always something I try to shoot for too.
Heck yeah.
Support your local conventions too. The smaller cons, they're equally important.
Do you want a real lightning round before we quit?
We're a little over time.
We're a little over time?
Yeah.
Oh. Can you remember all the names of the different conventions you've been to since you started?
Alabama, Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas.
Oh, get the hell out of here. All right, wrap it up then.
All right, great. Thanks, Dameron, for being here. Lots of con experience. Thank you, Speedy Husky, for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Special curly floof guest with all the con experience.
Right?
Well, that's it for us about conventions. Oh my God, furry conventions. Yay. Whoa. And Dameron is eating a popsicle from Zootopia.
What? A pawsicle.
For the audio listener, Dameron did not have a popsicle.
For the audio listener, Dune's a whore.
For the audio listener, abso-fucking-lutely. So, what's your favorite convention? What's your favorite con memory? What's your favorite panel? Get in the comments. Let us know. Let's talk about it. I would love if in the comments we could hype up some conventions that are not as well-known, because I will take your advice and maybe try some new things. But don't forget to like, don't forget to subscribe, click the bell. We'll let you know when another episode is coming out. Thanks for tuning into Pawscast. We'll see you in the next episode. Bye.
Have a good one. Thanks for joining us today.